All right, May 15th, 2024, Ace and Hammer podcast here. We are going to discuss today bouncing back from a poor performance. This was a request from one of our clients, and I can firsthand respond to that from this weekend. My 10 miler was was not such a good performance for me. Matt, how many bad performances have you had since you started running?
I mean, I several, but I remember, you know, not to get too deep into it, but I remember a 5-week stretch where I DNF'd 2 3K races. It's kind of had a good ending, and we can kind of get into it. But after the final 6-week stretch of indoor track, we were getting ready for the MAC championships, I DNF'd 2 3Ks, but finally kind of turned it all back around. And within a 4-week stretch, I ended up dropping like 12 seconds in my mile PR after two really bad performances. And I guess we can discuss and talk about it and what you do as an athlete after you have a bad performance. What do? You go back to square one, go back to the drawing board? You know, what are you thinking about doing now that after this bad 10 mile race going into your marathon?
Yeah. I mean, so it's all relative. It was bad for me, but it's only because I assess on how I felt. But, you know, I think there's two major pillars when it comes to why you have poor performance. One is, what exactly are you training for, right? So if you are training for a marathon or an Ironman triathlon or an ultra marathon, and you jump into a 5K and you have a bad race, well, those are very different races, right? So you're not likely going to have the spark in a 5K when you're training for an ultra marathon or a full marathon. You may not have your legs like you normally would have, because you're doing longer durational workouts. Your mileage is more stacked on, you know, the long runs. So there's a lot of fatigue that's built into that. You know, we both know that you can run 60 miles a week by doing 6-10 milers, you know, with doubles in the week, right? Like 6-4 doubles all week and then a 10 miler on the weekend. That's not as fatiguing as 60 miles a week doing, you know, a 15 miler on Wednesday with 6x1 mile and then a 20 miler on Saturday, right? Yeah. You know, with shorter runs in between. I mean, those are two different ways to train. So poor performance could just be generally from being fatigued going into a race. Could also be from underlying sickness. You could have a virus, or, you know, you could be coming down with something, but you're not sure yet, you know, or you could have allergies and they hit you, you know, at different times of the year. So, the likelihood that if you're training hard and you're doing well in your workouts, and you can assess that now very easily, and you have a bad race, the likelihood that it's your fitness is low.
Very low.
It's probably not your fitness. It's probably external factors, mental or physical, that are either in your control at some point or out of your control, right? So, like, if you're sick, it's out of your control. If you're fatigued, it's kind of out of your control, you know? So if we talk about my 10 mile this weekend, Tuesday, I did a 5x1200 workout. I ended up doing it on the treadmill because it was like 100 degrees out and I couldn't do it in the morning. I did it in like 4:45 to 4:50 pace, and I felt really good, like really good. Wednesday, I had a scheduled massage, and I probably needed to flip those two. I probably needed to do the massage like Monday and then do the 1200s Tuesday or Wednesday. But instead I couldn't get in. So I did the massage on Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday, both days I felt flat.
Yeah.
You know, after the massage, you know how you can kind of feel sluggish after a massage?
Yeah. Almost sore sometimes.
Or sore. Yeah. I usually just feel sluggish. So And I felt very like I couldn't catch my breath on Thursday, Friday, you know, like if I took a deep breath, I had a cough, you know, that feeling like tight chest.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be, you know, it was really nice on Saturday. But I ended up getting up at 3:45 in the morning and driving to Greensboro,
which is rough.
Probably not the best idea. It was either getting to Greensboro at like 9 or 10 PM on Friday, or it was getting up early. And I opted to sleep in my bed and get up early. And yeah, I just got out of the car and went for a jog, you know, warm up. I got there early, about 7 o'clock. Race started at 7:45. Did my strides, and I went out in about 5:20. I felt pretty good. I didn't feel terrible, but I didn't feel great. I didn't feel like sparky. And then miles 2 and 3 are kind of like there's more downhill than uphill in those 2 miles. And I dropped to like 5:05, 5:07. And then the course starts to roll, and there's a lot of gradual inclines, you know, for the remainder of the race. And I slowed down, had a guy on me. I was in third place. First and second was Pardon from Raleigh and Sam Montclair, who are both like 106, 107 half marathoners. So I didn't even go out with them. I let them go. They ran 5:07 pace, which is about their half marathon pace on this course. And then, and I was kind of just in a solo third, and this guy was in fourth. And man, with a half a mile to go, I was like wheezing, and he came up on me, and I tried to stay with him and just couldn't do it. I just had nothing. I got like a neck cramp, you know, like up in my collarbone, and just was like, just seized up almost, you know? And I kind of attribute it to marathon fatigue. But the good news was, is I was 50 seconds faster than last year in the race. So 50 seconds faster. So that's good going in with a feeling like you had a poor performance going into, you know, the marathon taper. But just a note to everybody, I would not drive 3 hours to a race in the morning.
I mean, kind of like you said earlier about being race specific or distance specific. I mean, this 10 mile, while it is a good like tune up or good assessment of fitness, it's not necessarily marathon esque type of training. So, I mean, I know you've been pairing some faster, like 800 meter intervals, 1200 meter intervals, but do you think you were ready to run this 10 mile knowing that, you know, full well that all of your training has been built up for the marathon distance? They are two totally different disciplines. I mean, for example, I mean, I like what you said about, you know, you need to be training for the distance. I'm coaching a girl right now, Bethany Lannon, who just did the Black Canyon 100K. And I've given her about 5 to 6 weeks of just base training. And we've just started. She's like, all right, I want to, you know, get down to 5K, 10K fitness. So I gave her a 5K workout. And she's like, I was just dead. I couldn't move. I'm like, well, you just spent the last 4 to 5 months training for this ultra distance. And she did really, really well. It's going to take you some time to turn that different gear. It's very distance specific. So do you think that 10 miler just was a little bit out of your training wheelhouse right now, or you were just flat for whatever fatigue reason you had?
Yeah, it's a good question. The 10 mile distance is about threshold, right? 53 minutes. It's about a threshold run. My watch said that I was in zone 5 for a majority of the race, which is a little above threshold. And that's what kind of was the trigger that I could have been a little zapped. Because I just had a higher heart rate. But I did the 10 miler the last 2 years. 2 years ago, I did it after the Boston Marathon. And then last year I did it 2 weeks before the Bayshore Marathon, which I'm doing again. So I wanted to repeat that struggle, you know, that hard effort 2 weeks out. And last year I felt better, but ran slower, you know, it was a little warmer. And this year I ran faster, but felt worse. I felt like when I got done, I had nothing left. I sat down, felt very zapped. You know, I don't know if recently you can recall, or do you remember when you would get done with a workout and you either feel invigorated, like you're ready for the day, you know, mm-hmm. like hell yeah.
Yeah.
Or you feel like you want to take a nap.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when you're doing those kind of efforts though, it's always good to like, and like we're doing right now, it's good to say like in the moment, like, man, I feel horrible. Like, why did it go so well? But once you take a step back and you say, well, yeah, maybe my recovery wasn't so good. Maybe my training week wasn't so good. Traveling the night before wasn't so good. You have to like take a step back and analyze like what led to the poor performance, or what led to why I didn't feel, you know, like my A game was ready for the race that day.
100%. And all week last week, I was a little stressed at work, had a lot on my plate, had a lot of things to get done, stayed up late. As you're aware, track season, when you have to stay up and input results into mile split. I mean, that stuff will keep you up at night. But I had that and just a lot of, for our company purposes, which you're very involved in, is that we're doing a lot of our web stuff. So I'm trying to collect data for these people doing our website, you know, so that'll be coming soon. A little shameless plug here for Without Limits. We got a new website launching, not really new information, just better navigation. But yeah, man, it's okay. I mean, dude, I do this to still teach myself and remember that running is humbling and you have to have humility in the sport. And you know, not everything's going to go your way, but also to be able to relate the, you know, ways to help people out. One of my clients who asked me to do this podcast did not have his best race at White Lake. It was a hot day. The swim was long. It was foggy. It just was a lot slower than he had hoped. And, you know, what kicked it off for him is when he got in the water and he realized it was 15 minutes slower than Ironman North Carolina, 70.3, you know, and if you're not, I guess, used to doing 70.3 triathlon or really any triathlon, you have to realize that when you swim these different swims, you know, some are faster. Like Ironman North Carolina is with an incoming tide.
Yeah.
So it's a way faster swim than White Lake. White Lake is a stagnant lake.
Mm-hmm. You know, where
it's fresh water.
Yeah.
No. If anything, you're getting pushed away. You know, you have to sight perfectly. Whereas, you know, in a race like North Carolina, you basically can get in, roll over on your back, and you're still going forward, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, and it was hot. It was an oven out there. It was like, you know, got into the 80s. It was just really hot. You know, when you talk about rural North Carolina, where you don't really get the sea breeze and it gets pretty warm out there. So we had some, brutal conditions. And in those conditions, you're just not going to have your ultimate performance, you know? And mm-hmm. I think that goes along with how do you recover from poor performance? Like you said, you have to analyze it and figure out, okay, is this my fitness? Is it my mental state? Or is it all these other things or all of the above, right? And you can just break that down. That's what we're here as coaches to do, to help you with, is to break down, okay, well, what went wrong and what can you do to be better and the next time? And you're going to have more bad races than good ones, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember,
go ahead.
You remember Arkansas's coach?
Yeah.
Do you remember what he said about peaking?
Is that back in like the Amy Bagley and,
the Alistair Craig era?
Yes. Alistair Craig era. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's what now he coaching? Said? He said that nobody could ever get the triple peak. So that's peaking in cross country, peaking in indoor, and peaking in outdoor.
Yeah,
right?
That's
you can only
that's,
peak that's, twice a year, right?
Yeah, that's actually pretty spot on advice.
Yeah. So peaking, for anybody out there listening, is getting your ultimate performance in a year. Ultimate, right? And it's a lot harder when you become, you know, an elite athlete at the Olympic level, especially, but like you're trying to get your top performance. You're trying to peak at the right time in 1 year. Right. Mm-hmm. And Arkansas's head coach, I lost his name now. I'm going to look it up while we're on the podcast here, but
he can only peak
Alistair Craig twice a year. You know, it doesn't mean he's not going to have great performances throughout the year, but he couldn't get his ultimate performances more than twice a year. So like,
and that's at the 10K distance, not the marathon. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Which for me is like, I see these guys, you know, and you probably, when you're coaching these half Ironman or Ironman athletes, it's really tough to fit in two really quality marathons a year or two really good half or full Ironmans a year. I can't remember who said it, but you know, it was a female pro runner, and she always said the rules of third. Her coach always told her the rules of third. You know, she said a third of the time you're going to feel great, a third of the time you're going to feel just okay, and a third of the time you're going to feel like shit. That kind of goes into not only training but racing. Like, you're just not going to have your A game all the time, and that's kind of why it is important. And when you look at a training modality, you do have base, strength, build, speed, you know, taper, recover, and then back to square one again. You can't be full gas all the time. You can't expect that you're going to be at your peak performance and carry it for more than, I mean, track athletes, at least in high school and in age groupers, I feel like you can only carry your peak fitness for about 3 to 4 weeks before mm-hmm. You're done. Your season's over. Go back to base building.
The Arkansas coach was John McDonald, by the way.
Yes, John McDonald. Yeah, McDonald, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's passed away. He passed away in 2021.
Yeah, he coached my high school coach, Amy Bakley.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, you're right. I mean, and so it's tough, especially age group athletes who didn't train, you know, at the collegiate level. Maybe they did high school, but you really find that out in college, you know, that you're going to have good and bad seasons. And the bad seasons aren't quote unquote bad. Maybe back in the day we thought they were, but they're actually a learning process. You learn a lot about yourself in that stage, you know, what you can do. And, you know, typically if you have a bad performance, the best way to recover is what? Sign up for another one, you know, get it out of your head.
Yeah.
especially if it was like a peak race and you just missed it, or maybe you trained, we had a lot of people training for the Boston Marathon and it was hot, you know, it's a bummer, you know, you're trying to run 26 miles and you're trying to run your best time. And you know that the chances become a lot lower when it's going to get into the 60s and 70s, and it's tough. And, you know, you can go back into the podcast, you know, Casey Henry, she kind of threw the PRs out and made the execution better. She focused more on the execution, which is why she negative splitted and ran her second best marathon. But, you know, it's, you know, poor performance is all relative. And, you know,
isn't that the goal though? Like, you know, as coaches, we need to tell athletes, instead of being performance oriented, especially if you have a bad performance, be process oriented. Think about the execution. What, in order for me to have that great performance on Saturday, what do I need to be doing on a Sunday night? Well, it's not staying up late, watch the football game. What do I got to do on Monday? Oh, I got to get my easy recovery run. I got to hydrate. I got to, you know, sleep. Like, if you focus on the process of what it takes to execute the performance, obviously the variables that would undermine a poor performance become a lot less. So therefore, you know, your odds of doing well are a lot higher. So I think that should be like the key to an athlete. If you have a bad performance, the best way you can improve on the next go around is just think about the process. Think about the little things in between, not actual race day.
Right. I mean, gosh, I need to have names better. I think it wasn't Bekele, but one of the Kenyan athletes, it was Gabriel Selassie, said that some races he runs, he said it very in Gabriel Selassie tone.
Yeah.
Some races I run will be fast because they start fast. Some races I run will be slow because they start slow. And it's all about how you finish, you know? And so, like, he's right. If you go out and you're in a half marathon, 10K, 5K, and it's a slow day, sometimes it's a slow day. Doesn't mean you give up. It doesn't mean you stop trying. You give your best effort that day and try to have your best race that you can, but it does not have to be a personal best every time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you think of that and you're in the endurance world, you are out of your mind if you think you're going to get a personal best in every race that you run. And what I think happens when people hire coaches is initially they see major results because the coach gives them a perspective that, you know, hey, look, these four things already I can fix, you know, and you're going to run faster just because of it. So they make massive gains in shorter distances. And then what happens, you know, long distances, of course, the gains improve there too. But then what happens, you know, those massive gains become micro gains, you know, and then it's as we know, the athlete's giving the same amount of effort in practice. They're training harder, they're going longer, but they're not gaining the same amount of fitness as they initially did. And that's tough for athletes, that, you know, age group athletes to, you know, accept a little bit, like, well, gosh, I'm putting in more work and I'm just not seeing my improvement as much as I was before. Well, that's part of the process. That's where you really learn about yourself. When you can train through that plateau. Overcome the plateau, right?
Yeah.
Break through the limits. And sometimes like Matt and I have said in previous podcasts, you know, it's taken him, sometimes it took us a couple of years to break through certain times, you know, and you see it in the training, you see it in everything, but it sometimes takes that special race to keep lining up, keep trying, keep making attempts towards it. If it's your passion and you're determined to do it, then you will do it. Sometimes it just takes a little bit longer than your friend, you know, your friend or your training partner might do it before you.
Yeah.
You know, you're the group that you're in at practice may get lucky on a certain day and they may PR and or break 3 hours in the marathon or qualify for Boston and you just miss out. It doesn't mean you're not improving or it doesn't mean you had a bad race. It's just you set this expectation and until you reach it, you're not going to be happy. And that's sort of that's where I think people got to get that out of their head is like, don't set an expectation that's unrealistic at first. Set a few expectations, have some micro goals within a goal, you know, and then maybe you'll come out and say, well, you know, I didn't get the time I wanted, but I was able to do X in the race. I was able to swim faster, or I was able to transition my best, or I was able to negative split, or I was able to run mile two better, or I was able to beat so-and-so. I mean, there's a million things you can do in a race
that are not related to fitness either. Like you said earlier, like these bad performances are probably not caused by their fitness level. It's probably caused by some external variable that, you know, if you start focusing on those micro goals within a goal, it's a lot easier to lower those chances of having a bad performance based off of whatever fatigue or just bad week or just plateau or, you know, peaked already a few weeks earlier in the season. There's tons of those things that I think if athletes do focus on those baby steps, it makes it a lot more attainable.
Where are you, by the way, dude? You look like you're in like a spa or something.
No, this is my little Zen garden over here.
Zen. This is Matt's meditation corner.
Isn't that still hiding behind you?
No. I told her we're recording in the office now and she avoids the office.
Okay, so, nice. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go hit up Vika. It's her birthday today, so we gotta go.
Yeah, happy birthday, Vika. Yep.
Yeah,
All right.
She might be racing the mountains of Main Street 5K and you're not racing this weekend, right? You're just chilling out before Bayshore.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have anything this weekend. Just hanging out with the girls, and we're transitioning into swim season and gymnastics, and you know, it's nonstop. I'm so glad that I'm kind of at the end of this training. I'm ready to take a break. The weather is changing into hot, humid.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for like a strength phase again. I feel like I'm ready for that. Shorter, powerful, you know, rep out some 200s at practice and stuff like that instead of doing 10-mile tempos. It just kind of, you know, like you said, and then you just can only take it for so long until you're like, all right, I'm ready to transition to some different stuff here. But yeah, man, you know, so you know, out there, you guys, hopefully you gain something from this and realize that everybody's mortal, and you all have to be a little humble when it comes to each performance. Go into it with micro goals and have big goals as well. But don't lose sight of your big goals, but also remember that big goals aren't going to always happen on your timeline. They may take longer than you think. They may take shorter than you think. It all just depends on what they are. So any last tidbits of advice there, Matt?
No, I think we covered it. I think we're going to take a week off next week. I'm going to be traveling to my brother's wedding. You'll be traveling up to Bayshore. Maybe our next podcast will be about how well you did and whether or not my brother actually got married.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we'll tell that story.
Did Tom finish? Did Matt's brother get married? No matter what, I'll be getting done and hanging out with my brother and his wife and my wife. Me and Annette celebrate 13 years anniversary this weekend. So
nice. Very cool. All right.
Yeah. So, all right. See you, folks.